Hey, this is Chris Atwood of The Alternative. Welcome to Sherry Curry, legendary singer and front person for The Runaways. Sherry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
So take us all the way back to the 70s. What was the music scene like? And remind our listeners about The Runaways and how that band came together.
Well, the 70s, I think, bar none, was the best time to grow up. With music, we had Elton John, David Bowie, Suzy Quatro had pulled this massive gate open for us gals. You know, Zeppelin, I mean, it was a magical time. It just goes on and on and on with the variety of music that we had besides these rock and roll icons that would literally change the face of music forever. Couldn't pick a better time to grow up, Chris.
A little bit younger than you, but not by much. But I do remember the 70s as being sort of an iconic time for music. And for me, it was really listening to my parents' Rolling Stones albums, David Bowie albums, ELO, and that sort of set the tone for me as I moved into the 80s and got involved in radio. What was it like being in the Runaways?
It was really kind of a whirlwind. It happened so fast. You know, when it moved so quickly, you can't even remember how it happened. It just within just a matter of weeks of me joining the band, we were signed to Mercury Records and we were in the studio before we could blink, and we were still doing small shows here and there throughout the Hollywood area and Orange County area and San Diego. And next thing we knew, we were on the road, and our first tour was months long. And when you talk about ELO and those great records were out at the time. And so, you know, those were the backdrop, the soundtrack of us in those cars.
Sure.
Or motorhomes, wherever we could find to get from point A to point B. That's the background of the band.
And a legendary band still going strong with the music on radio, and it'd be great to have a reunion show at some point. But let's fast forward from the 70s to today and your brand new album that was a few years in the making. We'll get into that, called Boulevards of Splendor. Walk me through how that album came together and some of the incredible artists, musicians from Guns N' Roses and Smashing Pumpkins that are on that. Tell us a little bit about the making of Boulevards of Splendor and how it came to be.
This record was Matt Sorum's brainchild. He just happened to reach out to me to do some background singing on Ace's album. Now Ace is his now wife. So mm-hmm. We're talking, you know, 11 years ago when he reached out, or 10 years ago, and I had missed the opportunity because I was touring, doing a PR tour with Ken Phillips, our publicist, on the Runaways movie. So when I got home, I called Matt to tell, just hope that I could get in there to do some singing for him. And I'd missed that opportunity, but I did share with him that I'd been asked to open for Joan and only had a handful of weeks to put together a band. And he just offered right away. He goes, "I'll be your drummer."
Wow.
And I just fell out of my chair. I mean, Matt Sorum, be my drummer. And he goes, "And I'll put together a band for you as well." And he brought Nick Mayberry on board, who is just phenomenal. And Grant Fitzpatrick, who is now with The Cult, on bass.
Wow.
And I brought my son in to play rhythm because Jake was, you know, my God, he was only 19 at the time. 18, actually, when I believe we did open for Joan. And the show was just a massive success. I don't think anybody saw it coming, really, how hard driving this show was. And that was because we had Matt Sorum as the person that, you know, he was the head of the band and the head of the rehearsals. And he made everyone work. I mean, really work to make this a successful show. And it was. And after we finished the show, he turned to me when we were taking photographs and he said, "We got to make a record." And I didn't take him seriously. I honestly didn't. It had been so many years for me since I'd been in a studio. And within a week, we were in doing Roxy Roller. And he opened his little black book of friends and made phone calls and got material and hooked me up with Holly Knight. And it just, you know, everyone worked so hard for this to be a great record. I'm so glad after 10 years that it's out.
And it's an awesome record. I thank your publicist, Ken, for sending it along. I mean, it's got this modern vibe to it, but it's straight up rock and roll, sort of like that 70s. 70s vibe, that especially from a Runaways perspective. I mean, heavy hitters, you got Slash from Guns N' Roses. As you mentioned, Matt Sorum was also in Velvet Revolver. I mean, just a phenomenal lineup. Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins. I mean, talk about two very different types of bands, Smashing Pumpkins and Guns N' Roses, but it really works on this album. What was it like working with Billy Corgan and Slash?
You know, well, Billy, I will say, what a gifted, generous, brilliant man he is. Mm-hmm. He just came to the studio and he met me, and then he wrote this song for us to do together. And one of the most gracious giving superstars that I've ever met. You know, I've met a lot of them. Slash as well. You know, when he was asked about his 10 best collaborations in his career, he chose me as one of those top 10, which I just really thought was so super cool of him. And you know what? These people are just, all of them are so giving and generous with their time, and they wanted this record to be great. And but most of all, Matt Sorum for, you know, believing in me, allowing me to be myself in the studio, because it had been a long time coming, this record.
And the record itself, it was released for Record Store Day, very small quantity, around 3,000, a really cool sort of run on that. How can folks get this album today? Is it available digitally? Is it going to be in record stores?
I know that they can grab the vinyl of it that was released on Record Store Day, I think through Blackheart Records.
Okay.
As far as the album, which is, you know, it's a slightly different mix, the digital release from the album release. And I'll tell you, being able to sit with my earphones on and listen to this record is almost like a religious experience for me. It's so well done.
It's awesome. But
you can buy it, you know, I mean, on Amazon or iTunes, I think, is, I'm not sure, because I don't buy usually this way.
Right.
I'm a classic rock kind of gal. So I listen to classic rock stations here in Los Angeles, few and far between, by the way. But
so what's ahead for you? I mean, obviously with, it's strange to even say this, you know, we're in a COVID-19 world. So many tours are being postponed or canceled. What's ahead for you in this album and going out on tour? Anything you can update us on?
Well, you know, this record being released was a total surprise. But I do know that we have to tour on this record because this is really my roots. This is my lifeblood. What these kind of songs is what I always love doing. It brings me back to my Runaways roots.
Yeah.
So I have no doubt that we'll tour on this record, no doubt at all. And so that is the next step. And, you know, prayers and thoughts go out to everyone affected by this virus and a lot of people that make their living on tour. You know, I hope for a speedy recovery for our economic situation and get those wonderful performers out there. I'm looking forward to it.
And I know my listeners in the Boston area would really welcome, you know, a stop here in Boston. There's obviously some legendary nightclubs, one in particular called The Paradise, where I could totally see you guys, you know, just rocking the house with your new album and some classics as well. I want to kind of throw a little bit of a curveball, and it's not so much of a curveball, but tell me about this Chainsaw Artist stuff that you do. That's kind of, that's rock and roll right there.
Well, it's funny you should say, I started chainsaw carving almost 20 years ago. I never banked on any kind of music business future for me. You know, I basically thought that was kind of over for my life. Even with the Runaways movie, I didn't foresee that happening either. That was Kenny Laguna and his positive thinking making that movie a reality. So I just gravitated towards what those voices in my head were telling me to do. We all possess that voice. And that voice was telling me to be a chainsaw artist, which I decided to give into quite quickly. And so I've been doing that for a living. It's not a hobby. It's been my life. And I started even competing in 2005 and placing in major competitions. And
wow.
So it's something that I really take a whole lot of pride in.
And you mentioned sort of like the changing or the evolving music industry. And because my show is really focused, you know, it's like past, present, future. And many of the bands that I interview, like your band, and obviously back during the days of the Runaways, have been around a long time. And I really feel like there's a resurgence as of late for all of this classic, rock, punk, new wave from the 70s and 80s. Why do you think that there's this, resurgence of your type of music, this type of music, given how challenging it is, I think, for listeners to hear new stuff on radio or even just, millions of songs are uploaded probably on a daily basis. More to the point, what makes this type of music, our generation's music, really stand out all these years later?
Because it was magical. Yeah. There was something about it that I could never give up on. I trust me, I mean, I've listened to hip hop, I've listened to all kinds of different music. It's just not for me. Rock and roll, just like vinyl, what comes around goes around. And you know what? I think a lot of things were changed with, The Voice and American Idol and, as far as technical singing and all that crapola, which I call it crapola only because to me, I can't even imagine the great talent that gave up because of some of these shows. Right. I don't think Bob Dylan or even Mick Jagger, any of these people, if they'd have, been conceived in the American Idol days or even the Voice days, I don't know if they even would have registered, So I hope to God that kids take the time to listen to really great rock and roll, classic rock from the 70s and see that, all things are possible and you don't have to be the absolute best singer or, you don't have to be so technical to touch people. I hope that this record and, will open the doors for some young kick-ass rock and rollers. And I love Boston, by the way. I have to get that in. Boston is what, I love Boston. So I can't wait to come out and play for you guys.
Well, Boston back in the 70s, as you probably know from if you toured out here then, has at that time had an incredible sort of do-it-yourself, garage punk rock and roll scene, lots of bands.
Well, we played the Rathskeller there in Boston. It was a big show. David Bowie came and Mick Jagger. I mean, not Mick Jagger, I'm sorry. Bowie and, Iggy Pop and Steven Tyler. A lot of people came down to see the Runaways play there at the Rat. So
speaking of the Rat, because so many of my listeners, they live there, literally. I remember going to the Rat and getting why I ate there. I have no idea why. It was such a dive bar, but it was great. But I had spaghetti and there was no tomato sauce, so they gave me a bottle of ketchup. I mean, that was the type of place that it was.
I know. Well, the condensation would just be dripping from the ceiling there.
Yes.
Yeah, it was crazy. But boy, did they love the shows. The audiences were just bar none the best. And I was just in Boston in February, early February, doing a fundraiser there. And Boston will always be in my blood because I just had so many good times in Boston. And a shout out to Lizzie Borden. She's a very good friend of mine that lives there. Of course, Lizzie Borden and the Axes.
Sure.
And Mammoth Studios. I've worked at Mammoth Studios there.
Off the new album, Boulevards of Splendor, on Blackheart Records, there's so many great songs. This is always a tough question to ask an artist like yourself, but if there was one or two or three songs that really stand out to you on the album, what might that one, two, or three songs be?
Well, I can tell you what the songs are today. It changes every day. Today, I've been really stuck for the last several days on Black Magic and, of course, Boulevards of Splendor and Mr. X. But then there's other days that I'm stuck on You Wreck Me and Forced to Be Reckoned With and Shades, Rock and Roll Oblivion. I mean, just a lot of these songs, I get up and I just want to hear, a few choices each day and they just stick with me. So that to me is a dream come true.
And one of the listeners on our 80s Alternative Radio Facebook page just posted, I said I was chatting with you and he said, badass. So that's coming from somebody from Boston. So that's a positive comment, obviously.
Yes, I thank them very much.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add or say to listeners here in the Boston area about you and your new album, Boulevards of Splendor, here on The Alternative?
I want to say thank you very much, Chris, and your show, The Alternative. And I want to come out and play Boston again. I was there in 2014. I passed through there as well a number of times since then. And I just can't wait to bring this album to life. I think it deserves it. And I want to thank everyone for their support. All these 40 plus years, Boston is just the best.
Well, we've been chatting with Sherry Curry, formerly of The Runaways, about her new album, Boulevards of Splendor, right here on 95.9 WATD. Sherry, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Chris, for all you do for folks like me, and you take good care of yourself.
All right, you too. Foxy from the